From the Arizona Daily Star and Tucson.com, this is the Wildcast.
Hey, what's up? Welcome to the latest edition of the Wildcast podcast. I'm Justin Spears here with Dominic Pachaco. Before we get into the podcast, make sure you download the Wildcaster app. It's free and available on the App Store and Google Play. Also, make sure you subscribe to the podcast on Apple Podcasts and like us at the Wildcaster on Twitter, Facebook, and also on Instagram. Dominic Pachaco in studio. What's up, Dom? We haven't been in here in a long time.
When's the last time we talked basketball? It's been a couple weeks, huh?
Yeah, we always been texting each other like, hey, podcast. We gonna do it?
Put it off for like a week. There's been a lot happening. It's a busy time in Tucson, especially for Arizona basketball, which we're about to dive into. We had, by the way, listen to all the other podcasts, because we had Robbie Mendel in here the other day.
Yes.
With Michael Lev and Ryan Finley. So There's a lot of good stuff going on here. It's not just because we're not talking about basketball doesn't mean we're not putting out content. Go ahead and give that one a listen.
Exactly. Robbie Mendel is a good guy, too.
Had a lot of good things to say, too. Talked about Jay Johnson. Mm-hmm.
Dave Lawn, the pitching coach, talking about their woes and stuff like that. That's an interesting podcast.
Andy Lopez. The list goes on.
Talk about Lopes. Dom, we're talking basketball here. And for those that are probably tuning in, they already know the federal trial into college basketball all came to a close. Jeez, it feels like it was forever ago. Was it last week or earlier
Monday.
This week?
Monday. Tuesday, Wednesday.
Jeez Louise.
It all blends together. It was this week, a couple days ago.
Yeah, but it wrapped up. And as we know, agent runner Christian Dawkins was found guilty on two of the six charges for conspiracy to commit bribery. Adidas consultant rep, whatever you want to name him, Merle Code, was also found guilty. Was it two of the four?
One of the four. He was conspiracy to commit bribery. Dawkins was found guilty of bribery and conspiracy to commit bribery. Again, between the two of them, 3 out of 10 charges they were found guilty on. Mm-hmm. Christian Dawkins and his lawyer said afterwards that it's kind of a win for them. But at the end of the day, they're still convicted of multiple felonies in this trial. And going back to the October trial, they're facing some relatively serious jail time. Book Richardson, who pled guilty in this same trial in January, will be sentenced at the end of this month, also facing some prison time. So we'll see how all that goes. As far as Arizona goes, we know, Justin, that there is an NCAA investigation underway at Arizona. The U of A confirmed to the Stars' Bruce Pasco last week that the NCAA go ahead.
No, I was going to say, and just so Arizona fans know, and there seemed to be a little bit of confusion on Twitter. Mm-hmm. Dom, when I think underway, when I say like when TV broadcasters say, "Oh, and the second half is underway," I think it's
beginning.
It's just happening, right? Or it's just beginning. It's launching, but it's not just beginning, right? Because Yahoo reported back in February that NCAA investigation into the Arizona basketball program was already happening, and then the school confirmed to the Arizona Daily Star basketball writer Bruce Pasco.
So here's the timeline. Yahoo reported from unnamed sources on February 4th that investigations had begun at the U of A and other schools involved in this scandal. And then the University of Arizona replied on February 6th, so just days after, to a Star request saying that there were no investigations. They had no contact with the NCAA to report to the Star at that time. And then just recently, the Star got back, and this is where I think the confusion came in with the words underway and ongoing. The University of Arizona responded to the request saying, quote, "Investigations into the University of Arizona men's basketball program are ongoing at this time." Excuse me. Bruce Pasco then followed up and said, "Does that include the NCAA? Anything from the NCAA ongoing at this time?" To which a UA spokesperson replied, quote, "There is an NCAA investigation underway." So it's not necessarily news. The news was that the U of A confirmed it. They have contact with the NCAA that they can report now. If that was the case in February, we don't know. As far as we're concerned, it was not. But again, Yahoo reported months ago that there were investigations ongoing. They are happening. underway, ongoing, however you want to phrase it. They are happening as we speak right now. The NCAA is looking into these schools that have been brought up in multiple federal trials now, Arizona being one of them.
Mm-hmm. And you said multiple schools. That's a good point, Dom. It's not just the NCAA or the FBI singling out Arizona, although it feels like it, right? Because what has been the topic during the federal trial over the last couple of weeks? And we're not going to dive too much into it because everybody already knows the news. Mm-hmm. But Sean Miller's name was mentioned multiple times in court, and yet there still wasn't any shred of evidence. There was no wiretaps of Sean Miller. I do know that there were tapes that weren't played in court. Mm-hmm. We don't know what's on the tapes. We simply don't know.
We'll get into that a little bit later, too, as far as who has access to those tapes. But, yeah, I mean, and that's the other thing, too, that people don't realize. Just because we're reporting on Arizona doesn't mean that other schools aren't involved heavily.
Yeah.
I think Arizona's been such a big topic in court because the status of their program. They're definitely one of the biggest programs involved in all this. As far as coaches who were suspended or Buck Richardson's case fired, you have LSU's Will Wade, who was suspended throughout the NCAA tournament and then came back on recently to staff. So there's a lot of moving pieces. Buck Richardson is definitely probably the biggest one in his involvement with Christian Dawkins and alleged involvement with Sean Miller in this whole thing. Definitely multiple schools. What's next on the docket, Justin? Mm-hmm.
What's next on the docket is what's next for Arizona. Mm-hmm. What are the next steps for the Wildcats as they get ready for another season? A year that has high expectations, more higher expectations, especially compared to, well, this past year. That's what's next for Arizona. And we know that Arizona is going to receive repercussions in some way or form, right?
I mean,
I know the NCAA is investigating, and I'm not going to jump to conclusions and say, like, oh, Arizona's going to receive the death penalty. They're going to lose scholarships, yada, yada, yada. Because I'm not an NCAA official. I wish I could provide all the answers, but I simply don't know because I don't know how the NCAA is going to view the actions that these Arizona assistant coaches committed.
And again, we'll get into a little bit later on the podcast about what evidence the NCAA has access to, in at least in terms of this federal investigation. But one thing we do know is that Sean Miller, as of now, is returning as the head coach.
Yep.
UA President Robert Robbins told Kay Gunn a few nights ago earlier this week that, quote, Sean's our guy. He said that they're still cooperating with the NCAA investigation, and they look forward to seeing what comes out there and what NCAA's rulings and decisions are. We don't know. We don't have any timeline on that. Mark Emmert said long ago, probably end of 2018, November maybe would be my guess, but definitely last year, I think Mark Emmert said that there's no timetable for any of this. It was when NCAA first started investigating this, I don't want to say that because that might be just be February, as Yahoo reported, but it was when NCAA made a ruling that they could, because I remember it was Condoleezza Rice. It was the board that she was on.
Wow, 2019. We're talking about Condoleezza Rice.
Yeah, well, you know she's on that. I can't remember the exact name of the board. You know what board I'm talking about?
Yeah, I remember. Seeing Condoleezza Rice's picture on the Arizona Daily Star website.
Yeah, like attached to like college basketball, like federal corruption stories, Condoleezza Rice's photo front and center. So it was around the time in November when NCAA instituted a rule that essentially allowed them to use outside information in their investigations. That's not to say that they were underway already, but it essentially said, yeah, they could use outside stuff. So they can use things that were said in court. They can try to get access to FBI and what they have, and they can take all that in. So that's, anyways, that was Mark Emmert's timeline saying, there is no timeline. We don't know what's next for Arizona, so it's only fair for us now to look ahead to their recruiting class, which Sean Miller has done a very good job of bringing in. They're number two right now behind Kentucky, who landed another five-star on Friday afternoon, and they're going to be very talented. Can we talk really quick about all-time recruits at Arizona? Because Nico Mannion, I was looking at this earlier, and we can just talk about this very briefly. I was looking at earlier, when you think of, obviously, Arizona's best all-time recruits, who do you think of?
I mean, we're talking about strictly the 24/7 rankings?
I mean, you can go off anything. Yeah, okay. 24/7 rankings aren't going to be far off of what you think.
Yeah, I think DeAndre Ayton.
Yeah, DeAndre Ayton, number one.
Number one. Aaron Gordon.
Aaron Gordon, number two.
Stanley Johnson?
Yep, he's number four. I mean, the bottom line here is Nico Mannion's number seven.
Wow.
Nico Mannion is number seven all time based off 247 rankings. Looking at guys he's ahead of, I'm just going to throw some out here for you. Mustafa Shakur.
That's a throwback.
Alonzo Trier. Josiah Turner. Rondae Hollis Jefferson. Ray Smith. Jared Bayless. Brandon Ashley. Raleigh. Emmanuel Acott. Nick Johnson. Justin Simon, who had a couple good years at St. John's after transferring. So Nico Mannion, in terms of 247's rankings, is the next guy. He's legit.
Creme de la creme.
And Sean Miller has a lot of talent coming in. We've hyped it up enough. But
and the thing that I like about Nico is when it comes down to big games or when it comes down to pressure being placed on his shoulders, he answers the bell. I was really surprised because I remember going to Hoopaw West, that invitational where all these top high schools come down to play.
In LA,
And it was in Phoenix, in Scottsdale.
Oh, right.
Yeah,
sorry,
it was in Scottsdale. And, you know, Nico Mannion and Pinnacle, they were playing Chicago Simeon. Mm-hmm. And Simeon is a powerhouse when it comes to basketball. And Nico Mannion played his butt off. I think he had about 28, 30 points. And Pinnacle got the W. Mm-hmm. And another one, look at the McDonald's All-American game when he was paired against Cole Anthony, the number one rated point guard in the country. And Nico Mannion had a better game than Cole Anthony. I know those two kind of went back and forth, but Nico Mannion had a better game than Cole Anthony. So Arizona fans, I mean, I would get really excited about a guy like Nico Mannion because he is everything that you want in a point guard. And secondly, which is the most important thing of it all, he knows how to win. Mm-hmm. The man won back-to-back state championships. He is the Gatorade Player of the Year. The man is the definition of success, and I think he's going to carry that over into his collegiate career at Arizona. It's even better. He's got his buddy, his AAU teammate, Josh Green, joining him. So it's going to be awesome.
And that's always the question, too, is can they carry it over? We've seen what they're capable of in high school, and now the next step is bringing that to a stage like the Pac-12 and putting on for Arizona. Josh Green, by the way, not really a question mark or something to be concerned about, but had surgery on that left shoulder, had surgery on the right shoulder a year prior. So he's recovering now. You saw him kind of not play up to par maybe in the McDonald's All-American game and a couple of summits after that. But he'll be fine. I still think, looking at the class, Nico Mannion's obviously the most attractive name on the list. I really like Josh Green and what he can do. He's kind of made for college. He's that physical athlete who can score from the outside. He's big. He's long. He's going to be a good guard and a good weapon for Sean Miller in Arizona next year. So it's going to be interesting to see how they all play together. The one thing that we do know for next year, another thing that we know, I love talking about things that we know that we have answers to.
Exactly.
The schedule.
2019-2020 schedule. The non-conference schedule was released, earlier this week?
Maybe last week.
Or last week.
Yeah.
Like you said, they all blend together. They all blend together.
What month is it?
The non-conference schedule was released, and Arizona will face against NAU, Illinois, San Jose State, New Mexico State, South Dakota State, and in the Wooden Legacy, which is an add-on game, they'll play against Long Beach State. And then from November 28th through the 29th and the 21st, they'll go out to Orange County. They'll play at the Anaheim Convention Center or Cal State Fullerton. That still needs to be determined. But the bracket, the field that's in it, Central Florida, Charleston, Long Beach State, Penn, Pepperdine, Providence, and Wake Forest. Dom, you're sitting there scratching your head because I already know what you're thinking about. That's such a weak field for a tournament.
Who's the best team there? Providence?
Mm-hmm. Probably.
I mean, Wake comes from a bigger conference. I mean, Providence is the best team you're going to play in that bracket.
And, Pepperdine, maybe.
And looking at, Pepperdine, maybe. Hey, there we go. It'd be a fun matchup.
Yeah.
And looking at who Arizona's played in tournaments in years past, you know, they usually have a Duke or a Gonzaga and they play Gonzaga this year, so that's okay.
Yeah.
Who was the big team in the tournament this past season?
Gonzaga from the Maui Invitational.
It was Gonzaga. They had Auburn,
Iowa State.
So they're used to playing tournaments with stacked fields, and this isn't one of them. But they kind of make up for it. I mean, you look at their schedule, and they have Gonzaga, they have Illinois, which is a sexier matchup than it is a good one. You go to Baylor, which is was a tough game for them at McHale Center last year. Of course, they got blown out in that game. Is that fair to say? They got blown out.
Yeah.
So there's some good games. They'll be tested more than most Arizona non-conference schedules. I still think
they still have one more game that needs to be scheduled on December 21st.
Okay.
So to be announced, and it's also a neutral site game. And you know what?
No, that's St. John's.
That is the St.
Yeah,
John's.
Yeah, it's the St. John's in San Francisco at Chase Center. Yeah, that's St. John's.
Mm-hmm. I like it.
So St. John's, another kind of attractive matchup that might be sexier in name than it is actual strength of schedule. But looking at these, Justin, what's your favorite matchup? I mean, Illinois at McHale Center is going to be a blast just because the history of those two teams. I mean, San Jose State, New Mexico State could be fun. South Dakota State, Long Beach State, get out of here.
I'm curious to see Long Beach State because you hear they're changing their mascot name. They're not going by the 49ers anymore. They're going by the Sharks.
Ooh.
Yeah, so the Long Beach State Sharks.
You can't go by the Sharks. It's you got the San Jose Sharks.
And they went from the 49ers to the Sharks. They're trying to be the Bay Area college, but they're a Long Beach.
Yeah, I mean, Illinois and Gonzaga, obviously. I mean, that's the obvious answer. The one thing that's interesting about this schedule is there's no road test. I mean, you go to Baylor, and that's really it. St. John's is a neutral site, and obviously Wynn Legacy is a neutral site. There's not a lot of road tests, so if the Pac-12 is a little bit improved, which you would like to think it will be from last season.
Hope so. Jeez.
That could be a problem early on in Pac-12 play, but if Arizona's as good as it's supposed to be next year, perhaps it won't be.
I'm really interested in that Pepperdine game. You mentioned Lorenzo Romar.
Yeah,
I hadn't even
put that together. Yeah.
And on top of that, another Tucson connection, South Point Catholic standout Majuk Deng, who picked Pepperdine over Arizona, ASU.
All right. That Pepperdine game is going to be, hopefully they meet.
So there's Tucson ties. Mm-hmm. There's familiarity between the two teams.
Who do you even put, if you're the Wooden Legacy commission here setting this bracket up, who do you even put on opposite side of Arizona to try to meet in the championship? Because there's always like Duke in Arizona or Gonzaga in Arizona would never be on the same side of a bracket in a tournament like this. So, I mean, what is the desired matchup? I mean, I guess Pepperdine, Providence, or Wake Forest.
Yeah.
Probably Providence, right?
Either Providence or Wake Forest, they would try to take one school from a Power 5 conference and have them meet in the championship game, whatever that is, whether it's at Anaheim Convention Center or Cal State Fullerton.
It's at the Convention Center.
It's not attractive.
Lineup. But again, this is, from what we're used to in the Sean Miller era of non-conference schedules, this is probably up there near close to the top. I think last year's was great.
But
in terms of Sean Miller, but
we looked at last year's Maui Invitational Tournament as, okay, if Arizona gets a couple wins in there, that helps them for not strength of schedule, but for key wins, for having quad one wins. Are any of these quad one wins?
Well, no, and that's why the rest of the non-conference schedule is going to be important. I mean, Providence might be. They've had some good teams in the years past. I can't think. They were probably in the tournament this year, right?
Yeah.
Providence has been competitive.
Like, the only quad one game I see on the non-conference schedule is Gonzaga.
Gonzaga, again, Illinois is sexier a name than it is an actual strength of schedule. I don't think you get tested until Baylor.
But we say Illinois is a good game because
Because of
the 2005 Elite Eight.
Right. Yeah. Illinois is terrible. Right. So, I mean, Arizona's going to have to go to Baylor and win a game. Again, Baylor hasn't been great by Big 12 standards in years past, and they got to beat Gonzaga at home. I mean, there's going to be two big games. St. John's, again, is a shell of what it used to be, so that's not very impactful, even though it is a neutral site game. Yeah, I mean, that's a good point. Last year, they needed those big wins because at the end of the year, if they were a bubble team, it turned out that they weren't. But if they were right there on the edge, they didn't really have many good wins. I mean, they played Auburn. I still maintain that those were two of the best games Arizona played all year were against Gonzaga and Auburn.
Mm-hmm.
They beat Iowa State. I guess that was their best win of the year, and that was in the Maui Invitational. So they better hope Providence is playing its best basketball when they meet in L.A. this year.
Speaking of the schedule, we didn't get a chance to talk about this. See, this is how long
Pac-12
we haven't recorded a podcast.
Pac-12? Yeah.
Pac-12 officially announced that they are moving to a 20-game conference schedule that will be going on next season. So not this upcoming season, but 2020, 2021. That year will have a 20-game conference schedule. And I think this is a huge, huge for the Pac-12, because this almost pretty much ensures that we're going to get Arizona, UCLA twice a year. And if those two schools are at the top of the Pac-12 and they face each other twice a year, listen, I'm not saying it's Duke, North Carolina. Okay. Mm-hmm. Duke, North Carolina is in a class of its own. But when you talk about West Coast basketball, what are key rivalries? I can't think of one other than Arizona, UCLA, Arizona, or even Arizona, Washington,
Arizona, Gonzaga.
Yeah. But I mean, those are
enough. I know
it's not like an established rivalry.
No. It's just it like Memphis, fun matchups,
like
right?
Or Kentucky, Louisville. Mm-hmm. They're in two different
huge rivalry. Yeah.
They're in two different conferences, but they play each other every single year. Gonzaga and Arizona doesn't play each other every single year.
And I wish they would. I wish they would, because those are always the best games of the non-conference schedule, because they're two good teams. I mean, it's the best team ever. Anytime Gonzaga's on the schedule, it's one of the best teams Arizona's going to play, conference or non-conference, every single year. And it's huge. It's easy. It's an easy home-and-home to schedule. I mean, they can just go right up there. It's in Washington. I mean, you're essentially taking a Pac-12 trip up the road to Washington. So I think it's something Arizona definitely needs to make happen on a yearly basis, that matchup with Gonzaga. Mm-hmm. But yeah, as far as rivalries go, Arizona, UCLA, you need it for the schools. And because, look, Arizona ASU is always going to be a rivalry. It ain't one in basketball. I mean, they have fun games. They're always close and heated. The crowds get into it. The cities love it. But it's not a college basketball rivalry. Mm-hmm. At least not like Arizona UCLA is, could be, was. I mean, I don't even, is it a rivalry anymore? I mean, when's the last time Arizona and UCLA went head to head in meaningful games for an expanded stretch of seasons? I mean, you had that one year, what was it, two seasons ago where
2017.
Where you had Arizona, UCLA, and Oregon all really good mm-hmm. while the rest of the Pac-12 was terrible. That was a fun year. I mean, Arizona, UCLA, that was the year, Alonzo Trier came back, was it from injury or suspension and lit up UCLA, or maybe didn't light him up, but Arizona went on the road. Mm-hmm. I don't think he had a good game.
He had a decent game.
Did he?
He came back. I remember he had a dunk. That was his first basket.
I say light him up because I remember Arizona winning that game. Mm-hmm. But anyways, that was probably the last meaningful game that they played. It would be huge for the Pac-12 and for the schools for that to be a rivalry, especially if they're playing twice a year. So both those schools need to get back up to their own standards to make that happen.
Those two schools are the class of the Pac-12 for basketball.
No matter what happened, no matter how many down years they have, UCLA will always be the class of the Pac-12, and so will Arizona. I mean, everyone year is chasing Arizona, not UCLA. UCLA historically, sure, mm-hmm. but everyone every year is chasing Arizona. So
that's what Dana Altman says,
right? Oh, that's what everybody says. Yeah,
whenever he goes out to recruits mm-hmm. for in-home visits, he tells them, how can you beat us? How can you help us beat Arizona? Mm-hmm. That's what we're chasing right now. So Dana Altman, head coach for the Oregon Ducks. I mean, he's been to a Final Four, and yet he still tells recruits every single time, how can you help us beat Arizona? So Arizona's a class of the Pac-12. UCLA, like you said, the historic factor. Mm-hmm. Those two teams are good. And if those two teams play each other twice a year, Pac-12 is in a pretty good spot.
There, it's going to be fun, and the way the matchups work is going to be interesting. Didn't I read somewhere that it would have to be in like, it could be in like December, it could be like a one off in December, which would be,
if so, I'm here for it.
Which would be, I mean, it'd be a great way to start the Pac-12 season.
It's like, obviously, yeah, sometimes you get that in college football, mm-hmm. like not Michigan State, but you know.
I know what you're talking about.
Like
yeah.
some SEC schools will open up against each other like before the start of the season.
Yeah, yeah.
Or week two or something starts. Like that. So, I think it's awesome. I'm here for it.
Yeah, no, it'd be great. I mean, it can't hurt. You know, it's mm-hmm. only going to bring good things to the Pac-12. Justin, I know you want to get in the mailbag really quick as
Twitter
we wrap
mailbag.
Up here. Yes, sir.
So, we put out a tweet at the Wildcaster on Twitter. Said, you have any questions or comments about the federal trial? And my goodness, do we get a handful, but I'm looking at the clock here and we have about 5 minutes left. So we're going to try to get to as much as possible. But I think we need to talk about some of the
evidence.
That's a good way to put it.
Show me the evidence.
So at Wildcat Radio AZ. And again, thank you to everybody that comments and participates in this. If you want your voice to be heard, we have a cool little feature on the Wildcaster app.
Very easy, by the way. Very yeah. user-friendly.
It's comment. You download the app, first of all. Mm-hmm. And then when you open up the app, there's a little section that says comment. You click on it, and then there's a little voice recording button. You hit it, you record your voice, and you could be in the next Wildcast podcast. So rather than hearing my voice, my god-awful voice, read these tweets, you can actually have your voice in the Wildcast podcast. But for now, we're just doing the Twitter mailbag. And at Wildcat Radio AZ asked, there still remains a number of tapes between Miller and Christian Dawkins. Can you confirm if the NCAA will get access to these tapes?
They can. They can get access to it. Right now, though, as of Thursday afternoon, the NCAA's executive vice president for regulatory affairs told The Athletic that federal officials will not turn over all of the information gathered in its investigation into college basketball. That doesn't mean that they won't turn over something or that they can't in the future. But right now, they have not provided the wiretaps that were allegedly not played in court. And those could include the reported on by ESPN wiretaps between Christian Dawkins and Sean Miller that the defense seemed to have had hands on and wanted to play, but the judge ruled obviously against playing some of the evidence in this recent trial. So we don't know what the FBI has. We don't know if the NCAA will ever get their hands on it, but right now the FBI isn't turning that information over. So sure that maybe, and again, we don't know what the NCAA has already collected and accumulated by themselves. So we don't know what information they're looking for. I mean, obviously, if there are wiretaps between Dawkins and Miller, the NCAA is probably inquiring about them. We don't know what ESPN has. Again, they've reported that they have those wiretaps from federal officials. So there's a lot of moving pieces here as far as what's out there, what the NCAA has. But right now, those wiretaps that allegedly have Christian Dawkins and Sean Miller having phone conversations are not in the hands of the NCAA. I think the next domino to fall in all of this would be ESPN showing its cards. And now that the federal trial's over, I think now is the time it could possibly happen.
Yes.
But again, it's a matter of seeing where the dominoes fall and seeing what's next. Mm-hmm. I mean, if ESPN has something, you got to figure it's going to come out sooner or later. Mm-hmm. And the NCAA, with their ruling from last year, will take everything that comes out into consideration, even if it's found by them or not. Mm. But yeah, right now, FBI is not handing anything over. So that's where we stand in terms of evidence.
Yeah, I agree with you, Dom. I'm with Mark Slaybach's story that he reported in March of 2018. I think you have to think about, hey, we got to show some evidence. We got to show some FBI wiretaps because we don't look good right now. Mm-hmm. We don't, because there wasn't any audio or wiretap of Sean Miller in court. And while the defense was trying to say, hey, Sean Miller is relevant in this case, Edgardo Ramos, the U.S. District Judge, said no, he's completely irrelevant. And the only tapes that were played were between Christian Dawkins and Book Richardson. Sean Miller's name was mentioned, but it was only by Christian Dawkins and Book Richardson, which gives Sean Miller some breathing room because he denied all the reports from ESPN. Mm-hmm. And so far, there hasn't been any FBI wiretaps or any sort of wiretaps. So I think,
well, as far as Sean Miller goes, I mean, there's been
that we know
with Book and Dawkins. And I mean, there were a ton of wiretaps played in court.
Mm-hmm. And there are also some that wasn't played.
Right. Just not with Sean Miller. And again, the defense before, they were trying to get Sean Miller to testify. So they have something that they wanted played in court. They wanted to question Sean Miller. They have some kind of key evidence that they said the government knows of that wasn't played in court. Whether the NCAA will ever get that or whether the ESPN will ever release what they have, if it's the same thing or not, we don't know. Again, that's why I say it's kind of a waiting game. We're kind of waiting to see what the next hand of cards is to be played. But right now, we know what we know, and that's that Christian Dawkins, Merle Code are guilty. Yeah. Book Richardson awaiting sentencing. So
hopefully we'll have more answers by next podcast, you know?
Right. Yeah. I mean, we're kind of back in that wait and see mode. We have these little 2 week stretches where there's trials going on. We get some interesting juicy details played out in court, and then back to the waiting game.
That's what it's all about. Well, Dom, let's go watch some playoff basketball, shall we?
Mm-hmm.
That'll do it for this episode of the Wildcast podcast. Don't forget to download the Wildcaster app. It's free. You don't need a subscription to the Arizona Daily Star. You can download that Wildcaster app on the App Store and Google Play. Also, subscribe to the Wildcast podcast on Apple Podcasts. For Dom, I'm Justin. Thanks for listening.